Dalai Lama that resulted in the publication of the Book of Joy, one of the pillars of joy they identified was perspective. Opening ourselves to a different perspective can bring a sense of hope in the midst of despair, allowing joy to creep in no matter what. Opening to the perspectives of others can shift our fear to compassion, turning swords into plows. Salvation is near, says the scripture, when we wake up, when we prepare room in our lives for the new light, new insight, new hope to enter, for something new to sprout forth in our lives. So let us now hear the words of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hands on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is the word and promise of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, open to us this day your word. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all hearts here, be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever been stumped? Maybe it was over a math problem back in your geometry days, and you couldn't come up with the right theorem to solve the problem no matter which one you tried. Or maybe you were traveling in another country, and all the signs are in a language you don't understand. Sometimes even the alphabet is an alphabet you're not familiar with. And for the life of you, you cannot find the exit from the train station. Or maybe you're faced with a life-changing choice. All the signs were, no matter what path you choose, none of them seem to be able to get you to where you want to be. You are stumped. You're befuddled. You're trapped. You feel cut off as a stump of what used to be a tree. Stumps are a remnant, right? A reminder of what was once alive and growing but is now destroyed. A lingering remnant that is often in the way and is always a reminder of what has been lost. That is just what it feels like to be really and truly stumped. Not struggling over math problems stumped, not feeling disoriented in a train station stumped, but cut down to by the death of a spouse or a child stumped. Stunted by the shocking loss of a job or devastated medical diagnosis, you know that something key to who you are has been removed, and you don't know if you will ever feel truly alive again. That is, I think, how the Israelites were probably feeling in today's passage. They are stumped, cut off, devastated by war, weakened by exile, Luke Powery observes that the glory of the nation appears to be over. The Davidic kingdom is nothing but a stump, the stump of Jesse, the remnant of a tree, of a people who were once a mighty kingdom but are now just a cut-off stump. Even though it appears that their exile is nearing an end, they have to believe that their best days are behind them. He goes on to reflect that no one ever creates a Facebook page for a stump. No one wants to broadcast that they feel like they're a stump or that they are stumped. To be stumped is never our daily prayer request. Oh, please, God, stump me. It just seems to happen, and leaving you stuck in bed all day with the curtains closed, torn apart from all that you've ever known, leaving you at a standstill, stagnant, stymied, stuck, stumped. At least that's how it was for a friend of Steve's and mine. It was a literal stump that helped him overcome his stumpedness. Is that a word? His stumpedness? Anyway, he recalls, he recently wrote a reflection that recalls that in September of last year, 2018, he was admitted to the hospital after developing sudden and severe abdominal pain at a family birthday party a couple hours away from their home. And while in the hospital, he experienced a ruptured colon, sepsis, followed by total organ failure. Emergency surgery brought him back from a very tenuous condition, yet he was in a coma, paralyzed for several days while machines kept up his basic organ functions. After weeks of intensive care, he began to show some slow signs of improvement. His physical condition stabilized, and his mind showed promise of, as he puts it, leaving his own fantastic private world and rejoining reality. After a couple of months of intensive physical therapy, he was permitted to return home. It was the week before his birthday. And when he wrote about it recently, he wrote, "Home was my refuge. I had gained enough mobility to move around the house with a cane and could feed and care for myself well enough to be left alone for extended periods. One of the things I enjoyed the most was to sit looking out the window while the birds and squirrels hit the feeders in the backyard, and especially those in our front courtyard. This space, enclosed by an 8-foot-tall brick wall and iron gate, was my favorite place to be or to look out on year-round. Julie, his wife, took his birthday off. And after getting the girls on their buses for school, they decided to go out to breakfast and drive around for a bit. It must have been about noon when we returned home," he writes. "We were still some distance down the block when I noticed something had changed. The decrepit silver maple in our front yard was gone." Hallelujah! I had wanted it taken out before I had gone into the hospital. It was shedding larger and larger limbs this year, and Julie had taken bids on having it removed, though it had not been in recent contact with the guy she had hired because he was waiting for a new crane that he needed in order to keep the tree from falling on the house when they took it down. It was a great relief to have it gone, but as soon as we turned into the driveway, I knew something was very wrong. He was also supposed to take out the diseased magnolia next to the garage, but it was still there. What was gone was the redbud in the courtyard, a tree that I loved and had treated like a bonsai since we had moved in. It anchored the whole look and feel of the favorite part of my home, and it was gone, just gone. After the initial shock passed, I spent the rest of the day holed up in the basement, alternating between tears and anger. It was as if a plug had been pulled on all of the effort and joy of my recovery, and I just had to let out all the frustration of the past few months, and it rolled out of me as it came over me. Worst birthday ever. Everyone was sad. And when Julie let the guy know what he had done, he was sad too. I didn't think that I could ever talk to him about it, but after a few days, he came back and took out the magnolia. We made a deal on a reduction of the price for the work to be applied to the replacement tree the next spring. I tried my best to forgive him. Though, to tell the truth, what I felt most was sorry for him and for myself. It was a long time before I could actually look at the stump without feeling the loss. And it didn't help that I had to walk by it every time I came and went. And then unless I sat in just the right spot so that I couldn't see it while watching the birds and squirrels, it was a reminder that their world had suffered a loss as well. It was once a center of activity for those waiting their turn at the feeders, a playground for squirrels and birds, and I began to think of what to replace it with that would be good for them as well as for us. January, February, early March were pretty grim times for me. I had made excellent progress while under the care of physical therapists, both in the hospital and as an outpatient. The ileostomy had been successfully reversed, which was an enormous source of relief. My annual physical indicated that all was functioning pretty much as it had before the unfortunate event, but I had reached a plateau. Just couldn't seem to find interest or energy to snap out of it. I'd say he was stumped. Then sometime in late March, the sun came out. I remember being on the deck when something caught my eye on the stump. In a couple of places, there were these tiny green leaves coming out of the trunk. At first, I was skeptical, but they just kept coming. And by the end of the month, there were a dozen little branches spreading out. Through April and May, it became clear the tree was attempting a comeback. By the 4th of July, I had to trim back some of the branches that were growing out over the sidewalk. By the end of the summer, it had not only filled the space, it was a tree just like I had imagined for its replacement, shorter and bushier, but with plenty of branches for the birds. It may not last. We shall see come next year. One thing I have learned is that nothing is certain. But I'm not worried about that. Just grateful for it having taught me a lesson in patience, given me an opportunity for deep gratitude, and shown me an example to follow in my own life and recovery. I think that's what's being promised by Isaiah in this passage. Not that no bad thing will ever happen to us, or that what we have lost will be restored, that everything will just go back to the way they were in the good old days, but that God will cause something new to spring out of our cut off, stymied, stuck, stagnant, stumped lives. That is the promise of the season that we're entering. That is what we watch and wait and anticipate. That is what the hopeful candle of joy was proclaiming to us today. We are watching and waiting for the coming of the one who brings life out of death, who is that new shoot that springs out of all of the endings. Jesus, the hope of the world, who causes joy to spring up that is deeper than mere happiness. And so we begin this season with open eyes and open ears and open hearts and open hands, praying, come, Lord Jesus. Come, thou long-expected Jesus. Come and bring life where we only see death. Come and bring hope where we are tempted to give up or give in. Come and fill our lives and our world with joy. Come, thou long-expected Jesus.